God is so great. He's so good to us. Amen. We have come to the end of another year on our calendars. And has God blessed you this last year? Amen. Give Him a hand. Praise God. You looking forward to some more blessings? The greatest being, as Brother Bob shared us, Jesus is coming back. Amen. And we don't have to worry about this world any longer. The problems and the challenges that we face here in this world. That's going to be great. Amen? Some of you are asleep already. Shame on you. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Welcome back to those who've been away for a little bit. And it's good to see you. Did any of you watch It's a Wonderful Life these last few days? Yeah, how many of you are guilty? I was going to, and I didn't get to it. I guess I'm going to have to do that today, Old Year's resolution, before the new year gets here. Anyway, I always enjoy that movie. In that movie, it's a classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life. One of Fred Bailey's friends tries to get him to invest in plastic. You remember that section? It's the new upcoming thing. Everybody's putting their money in. It's going to be the greatest thing in the world. Come on, George Bailey, put your money in plastic. And George, he kind of hem-haws around. He's got other things on his mind, other plans with his money. So he doesn't. Anyway, as a result of that, what happened? Plastic is one of the big things that we depend on today. Any of you have a plastic issue around your house? Lots of it, huh? And as a matter of fact, the city has put out those extra bins to collect those things that are called recyclables. And plastic is one of the great inventions. It has helped train our society to have a throwaway mentality. Used to be you'd keep everything you had and try to make the most out of it. We toss plastics of all shapes and sizes away every single day, along with cans, bottles, boxes, electronics, cars, and babies. Whoa, what? How did that get in the picture? And yet that's a fact of our society. People think we can just dispose of everything. Many years ago, as I first prepared to preach this section of Scripture, it came across the news, reported that there was a crying newborn baby found rescued in a trash bin. And they fortunately saved the baby from the freezing temperatures and got him to a hospital and saved him. But babies are still being cast aside as trash in our society. People don't consider the value of a baby as important. From 1973 through last year, the records estimate that there have been over 60 million of American babies who have been killed for various reasons. Parents didn't want to be bothered. They didn't want an unwanted child. They didn't want the responsibility. Whatever the reasons were, maybe the parents didn't understand that this was a gift from God. But 60 million, just in the United States alone, worldwide, it's the number is much larger. God does forgive those who seek forgiveness. God forgave the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was killing Christians. And yet God used Paul in a mighty way. And we have women all across America who have realized what they did to the child God gave to them, and they have repented and sought God's forgiveness. And God is forgiving. Praise God for grace. Because every one of us needs it, don't we? I'm guilty of sin and corruption. One sin is just as bad as a thousand sins or a million sins. The Supreme Court has overturned that national abortion law. And yet our state law still has some of the most threatening laws for newborn life. We need to pray about that. We need to do what we can to get that changed, brothers and sisters. We need to be the salt and the light in our community. But that's not what my focus is all about today. There are responsible people who are still seeking to receive babies all across the United States. Some have waited up to 7 years to receive a child that is available for adoption. And there's a long waiting list still in the United States. My family has been blessed, as most or all of you know. This last year, our oldest son and his wife have adopted a little boy. That process began, though, 5 to 6 years ago. They began the process of preparing, working with an agency, learning, going through all the training that they were required in order to be able to foster parent this little boy. And they had him in his home for 2.5 years, approximately. And then the little boy became available for adoption. The parents, the family, were not able to provide for him. And so we now have another Roraba because of this process of adoption. The Bible indicates that every single one of us needs to be adopted. Now, most of us think that, well, I'm pretty good on my own. But God says, no, you need some adoption. You need to be adopted. Some of you have been physically adopted by family members, and praise God for those people who reached out and took you. But God says every one of us needs His adoption. We need to learn to live His way. Because the daddy that is running this world is not a good daddy. He hates us. He's doing all he can to destroy us. He's the father of lies, deceit, destruction. He's Satan himself. God is allowing Satan to rule this world for a time, but it's going to end. And where are we going to put our faith and trust when this world ends? This world is filled with trouble, and God has provided the way for us to escape the demise of this world. God has given us signed adoption papers that will last for eternity. Those papers are signed with the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you have not made Jesus your master, we want to encourage you to get it straight today as we just sang, discover the joy of having holy water touch your body and find the relief and the blessing that comes by following God's plan. Submit to God. Make Him your dad, your father. Your Abba. It's necessary if you want eternal life. So today, let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about adoption. We had a passage read to us at the beginning of the service. We're going to read it again here in just a moment. Before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, You have told us throughout Scripture and shown us throughout Scripture how humanity, mankind, people have disobeyed You. We've chosen to go our own route, and we've seen the tragic results of so many that end in destruction, despair, violence, corruption, evil, hatred, and just so many bad things. And yet, Father, You have given us the assurance, the promise, the hope, the fulfillment of a Savior, a Messiah, who gives us new purpose, who points us in the direction of life and goodness and blessings and so much more that are pleasing, not only helpful for us, but pleasing to You. So, Father, we pray that we would learn to pattern our life in a way that would please You, that we would truly make You our Father, and that we would accept the adoption that You have provided through Your Son, Jesus Christ. As we review this portion of the Scripture, Father, help us to reflect upon Your truths, and if there are some areas that we need to correct, we pray for wisdom to see it and the determination to make the changes. Father, we thank You for grace and mercies that come in Christ. We pray for those around us. We pray for the strength, the motivation to share this message of hope with others who desperately need it. Guide us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been making our way through the book of Romans before the Christmas season came upon us, and we are going to return to that. We're picking up in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 11. I'm going to read down through the verses, skip over some, and conclude with a couple verses. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 11, we find these words: "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father!' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." I'm going to skip down to verse 22 now. "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." Praise God for His Scriptures. There is so much here. I just encourage you, if you haven't read the previous verses, chapters to Romans recently, read the foundation, the basis that leads up to this point. We'll be briefly touching on that here in just a little bit. The first thing that I want to deal with here is Almighty God is the willing adoptive Father. God wants to adopt every single human being, the worst, the mediocre, and even you, the best, right? Well, we all think we're the best, don't we? Right? We have pretty good opinions about ourselves usually. Now, there are some people who are struggling. They have depression. They have issues. They have challenges. And we need to pray for and uplift them. But overall, most people think they're okay just the way they are. Don't mess with my life. I'm doing fine. Don't bother me. Let me share with you about Jesus. Oh, I don't want to hear about Him. I'm doing fine. Have you ever run into that? Or they think they've got all the answers. They don't need any more information. We need to pray about that. Ask God for wisdom on how to share the good news of life in Jesus. But continuing on here, ever since the first couple fell for Satan's lies, leaving God's truth, all people have been deceived by this father of lies, Satan himself. John 8:44 tells us He's the father of lies. He continues. He deceives people. Every generation is continuing on, still going on today, will continue on until Jesus Christ returns. But the Lord God of life wants us to follow Him. He who made us is the best father that we could ever know. How many of you really loved your father? I had a good dad. Now, there were some days when I kind of wondered. But overall, he's a good dad. And looking back, I thought it was for my benefit that he was a little rough on me sometimes, using the Board of Education from time to time when I didn't think he should. But it was for my good. Amen. But the Lord God, He is the perfect one. He's the one and only who can truly give us eternal life, perfection, everything that is good, and He has endless resources. He is all-powerful. Isn't that a great God? A great Father who loves us. The first point is that God has the right attitude toward people. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we are told that God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He wants all of us, but there has to be some changes in our side. We need to change our attitudes towards God. We have a thought process that doesn't always match up with what He says is the right way, the way He originally designed everything. Not only does God have the right attitude towards us, He's willing to accept us, God has the right love for all people. A lot of people think, well, I'll give to you if you give to me. I'll trade with you. God's love is not that way. We're told in 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved us so much that He first provided a Redeemer for us, somebody who would take our place in judgment, who would take all of our sin from us, all of our corruptions, all of our failures, those things that we needed to repent from, which we just talked about, those things that we need to walk away from. All of our rebellious nature against God is totally paid for by Jesus Christ from heaven. Jesus has paid for every sin of all humanity completely, totally, and still come out alive. And that's what we're looking forward to, His return to take us to His eternal home. The third thing about God is God has the right understanding of the human need. God understands us. Why does He understand us? He's the one who created us to start with. He designed us. He put us together. If you were to go into a computer lab and ask, how does this thing work, who do you go to? You go to the engineer who designed the computer to tell us how the thing works. You don't ask the janitor. You don't ask the guy or the secretary down the hallway. You ask the person who put it together. How does this thing work? How is it supposed to work? If it's not working right, who do you go to? You go to the computer expert. God is the expert on humanity. He's the one who designed us, made us, created us to work and function in a certain way. And He knows what will happen when we get out of sync with that pattern. God loves us. He cares about us. He wants us. He understands us. God made us in His image and in His likeness, we are told in the Scriptures. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows our desires. He already has all of our choices written down in His books according to Scripture. God knows what you're thinking right now. He's always known what you have thought and what I think and what every person thinks. And He already has it recorded in His books. Now, some people have said that God forces people, that God has predetermined and pre-made us to function and act in a certain way. I don't believe that. I believe that God has given us the choice to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve is a constant message throughout Scripture. You have the choice. It's just that God already knows what choice you made. And He has already prepared for it. it doesn't catch God by surprise. Some of my choices catch me by surprise. Have you ever been surprised by how you've reacted to something? No, I didn't think I'd do that. And yet, sometimes we surprise ourselves. Nothing surprises God. He already knew what you were going to do, and He's prepared for it. When you make dumb mistakes, He's already got an answer for you. He's got a way of escape. He's got His organization all set up to help you if you'll just listen, if you'll just answer His call. God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, paid for all of our sin. Paul explained in Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3 the human condition of sin. All of us are in that boat. We're all sinking. We've all wandered off the path of God. We're all in need of a new Father who will give us life. Because, as I said earlier, Satan is out to get you. He wants to destroy you. He hates you because you are made in the image of God. And he doesn't want you to receive God's blessings. Will we continue to follow somebody that hates us? Or will we choose to subject ourselves to a loving Father who wants to do everything for our good? We are filthy, we are sick, we're disease-ridden, we're dying, we stink with corruption, but God is willing to take us, every single one of us, and clean us up in His loving arms, healing us, mending our corruption, giving us everlasting life. Will we choose Him? It's our choice. God gave the Savior for making adoption possible. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord dwelt with mankind in the past, and God has dealt with humanity in many different ways and different processes. In the Garden of Eden, God spoke face to face with Adam and Eve until they sinned, and then God continued to communicate with them, speaking to the heads of fathers. God spoke to Abraham in visions, dreams. Moses was probably one of the few who was blessed to actually speak face to face with God, and then yet he was not allowed to see the face of God, for he would have been destroyed. But all these previous methods that God used all point to the need for a Messiah, somebody who would pay the price for human sin. We just celebrated the birth of that Messiah. What's his name? Jesus Christ. He has come. And now God requires all people to come to Him through this Messiah, through Jesus Christ, and obey His commands. We are told over and over again we must obey the commands of Jesus. The first point of this thought is that our sin requires a perfect sacrifice. We've seen this issue of sacrifice ever since the beginning of humanity. Adam and Eve's nakedness required God to kill some animals to make some coverings for them. We see that the practice of sacrifice continued on through the ages. Noah sacrificed to God. Cain and Abel sacrificed to God, except Cain's was a little skewed. We see that God incorporated sacrifice into the law. But that sacrifice was only temporary. It had to be continued day after day after day, continually, and then it all broke apart. So God sent the Messiah. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. The scriptures are very clear about that God put on human flesh, and as shared with us earlier, miraculously was born through Mary, the Immaculate Conception. God came to be with us. He experienced what life in this world is like. He was tempted in all things as we are, and yet He never gave in to sin. It's not the temptation that hurts us. It's when we give in to temptation. When we commit the sin. When we fall for the trick that Satan throws before us. As the Scripture says, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal life. Jesus is the source of eternal life. No other. The Apostle Paul reminds us of God's plan here in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, talking about Jesus, which He promised and beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son. God is revealing that Jesus is the answer to all those Old Testament prophecies. God prepared His plan of adoption long before He created the world, Scripture says. People's sin did not surprise God. God already knew that we would be tricked by Satan. We would be fooled and we would be suckers for deception. God knew we would need help, knowing that we would sin. And so God provides us a pathway. Hundreds of prophecies throughout the Old Testament speak to the desire that God wanted to help us who were sinning. Believers of God recognize the arrival of the Savior. Can you imagine the life of Mary and Joseph when they were told, "You're going to be raising God's Son, but don't worry, you'll do all right." God's Son, perfect. God in human flesh, we're going to be the parents of Him? How many of you want that job? Do a perfect job of raising God's Son. Wow, what a challenge. And then we read this last week through all the different readings of the people who interacted. There was Simeon and Anna who came walking up and informed these parents that their newborn son would be the Messiah. He was the promised one. There was the arrival of the Magi from the east. John the Baptist proclaimed the arrival of the Messiah, drawing huge crowds. The very life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, all proclaimed and identified Him as the Messiah. And then, what was the icing on the cake? His resurrection. How many of you are going to plan on jumping out of the grave after you've been in it for 3 days? Surprise all your family, right? Does that happen? It doesn't happen, does it? And yet Jesus did it. And the first century Christians tell us about it. Eyewitnesses know that Jesus was the answer to God's promise. The puzzle had been finished. Jesus came as the answer. Obeying Jesus is the only way of being adopted by God. All of the Old Testament prophecies refer to only one Messiah. They didn't tell us that there was going to be a chain of messiahs or a whole bunch of different people that you might be able to get to heaven with. There's only one Messiah to be coming as King, Lord, Redeemer, and Savior, and He has come. His name, Jesus of Nazareth, and we have the record in our New Testament. God has given His Son as Redeemer to make the adoption possible. Now, as you know, if you're in a process of adoption, or maybe you've heard about it, maybe some of you have been involved with it, there's usually a lot of paperwork involved, a lot of details you have to cover. God provides the process for adopting people. God has given us the process, and we have it recorded throughout the New Testament, here in the book of Romans as well. Our text refers to God's Spirit in us in verse 11. Then our death in verse 13. How do we die daily? What is this talking about? If you don't read the other passages, the other chapters before and after this, you won't understand. So I've kind of put it in a nutshell here. It also talks about us putting to death our sinful desires. How do you kill your desire? How does that happen? In and all the other things that it's talking about in this passage. Well, we have read through the scriptures, and we basically have come up with what we call the five-finger exercise. So let's kind of work through that. The first is that scripture tells us we must believe in Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ as the only Savior is necessary. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and other passages in Romans all refer to this belief in who? Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior. The testimony of John the Baptist, the testimony of the apostles, the testimony of Jesus himself, that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, all point to Jesus being Messiah, promised from God from the beginning of sin. The entire New Testament centers on one Savior. Who is he? Jesus Christ. We need to believe that message. Another point, finger number two, if you would, is we must confess. Believers of Christ must confess their belief in Him. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 tell us that if we refuse to confess Jesus before others, does that show that we really believe He's Lord? We must be willing to talk to others. It directs Christians to speak up about their belief. Tell others how God loves them, as well as how God loves you, and how God wants to adopt them as well as you. For how long? Forever. Jesus warned that we can only have how many masters? One master. It's either Him or, as He describes it, the world. If we're going to make Him master and Lord, then we need to obey His words. A third point is we must die. Christians must die to sin. And that happens at our baptism, we're told. Our baptism into Christ. Our last song that we sang talked about the waters of baptism. Where does that all come from? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Just spent 11 verses talking about our death to sin at our baptism. It describes that burial process commanded by Jesus. Commanded by Jesus? Yes, twice. The final words of Jesus as He left this world to the apostles was, go out, do what to people? Baptize them. Baptize those believers, people who would believe in Him. We are also told about it in the book of Galatians, Colossians. Throughout the New Testament, it talks about this transition. The book of Acts has 8 different accounts of new believers coming and submitting to the baptism that Jesus commanded. The fourth thing is that God gives us His Spirit to live inside of us. The Spirit is God's power to help us to fight against the temptation and the sin that comes because of Satan and all of the powers of darkness. The Old Testament promised this power, and Jesus fulfilled giving us this power on the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter repeated the promise on the very first day of the church. He said, repent, let each of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive a gift from God. What was the gift? The Holy Spirit. But it has to be in accordance with God's plan. Other passages that talk about this as well. And in Romans chapter 8, it started off talking about the mention of the Spirit's actions in the life of the Christian and continues talking about the actions of the Spirit in the continued life of believers. Those in Christ must choose to follow Him. Have you chosen to follow Jesus? It's a matter of your choice, not forcing you, not somebody else forcing you. You have to choose to follow Jesus. Choosing Jesus instead of following the world. Repentance is the New Testament word about this. Turning away from one thing to choose another. And that is another factor in our daily life. It's not a one-time event. As we're going down through life, different things get our attention. and we start following those different things. But some of those things lead us away from God. So what are we supposed to do? Turn away from them back to the righteous life that God gives to us. Repent, turning back to God's ways. Paul will go on to encourage us in the verses, the chapters ahead, that we become living sacrifices for Jesus. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, say that this is going to be an everyday challenge because we're in a hostile territory. We're in the domain of where Satan has control, the world. And yet we're trying to live by heavenly principles that are not recognized by Satan and his followers. People must follow God's directions in order to receive this adoption. God loves everybody, but he can only adopt those who come to him according to his plan. Our faith in Jesus and his directions must be so strong that we recognize that we are God's children when? Right now. And the discussion has been, we are adopted. And yet, something interesting happens when we come to verse 22. Are you walking hand in hand with Jesus physically right now? No, we're doing it spiritually. We're trusting in God. We believe in God's answer. We are still waiting for that final big event. What is that final big event? The return of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 and 23 address that. Let me read that verse, those verses again. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's working in us right now, the first fruits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. When we are going to be leaving this physical world that is so easily led away from God's will, and we are going to be given new bodies, eternal bodies, to dwell with God in his eternal home for how long? Forever. Move forward in faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be his adopted children. Keep your focus. Remember who your daddy is. He's God. And it's made possible because Jesus died for you. He conquered the grave for you. He's alive, pleading for you in heaven. Have you made him your Savior? Have you accepted God's adoption plan? If you haven't, if you're not sure, we encourage you to talk to one of us. We want to help you. We want to guide you. We want to help you in understanding the Scriptures. If you're confused about some things, have some questions, please do talk to myself, one of the elders. We'd be glad to help you out. If you have somebody you have a lot of faith in, a strong Christian, talk to them. But get your life straight. Be sure you're adopted in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, to be the children of God. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your grace, mercies, and love. Thank you for the plan of redemption you have expressed, that you have given Jesus for all humanity, that Jesus has died to pay for every sin, if we would just recognize that we need your help, that we need your adoption. Father, if there are any here today, we pray that they would make that commitment, surrender their will to yours, and discover the new life that Jesus gives, and be assured of the eternal blessings. I pray your blessing upon each of your children, that we would be strong, faithful, and true, that we would not surrender, that we would not deviate from death, but serve Jesus all the time, every day, faithfully. Help us to find ways of being your witness to those who are in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.